Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
To the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by Davidson's Beer, Wine, and Spirits, my go-to shop for anything and everything Breckenridge Brewery. I'm your host, Rudo, joined as always by AJ Haefeli, and we have a special guest on the show today as well, not only ringside reporter for both the Avalanche as well as a producer there, I believe, and Altitude TV as well, Rachel Richlinski. I probably butchered your name because I'm terrible at names, but thank you for coming on the show, first of all, and how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. And, you know, as AJ mentioned, I'm sure it's nice to have another Southerner to talk hockey with. So happy to be here. Happy to do that with you guys.
Yeah, it's not a sport known for a lot of Southern people in the media, I suppose, huh?
Yeah, not quite. I actually did an interview with an old friend yesterday, a local sports anchor in Lafayette, Louisiana, which is actually where all of my family is originally from. It's the South, very, very South, very Cajun, the best food in the world. But he had me on yesterday just to talk NHL because there's nobody else in Louisiana that could really talk about it. So it's kind of cool, actually, local girl giving insight on what's going down in the league. But
got the market cornered down there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Awesome. Well, I guess we'll get into how you joined the Avs and all of that in a little bit, but I guess I wanted to start with how did you get into sports media in the first place? How did you end up in this business?
Yeah, so I'm from Louisiana, born and raised in South Louisiana. I went to LSU. At the time, I had no idea what I wanted to go to school for or what my major was going to be. I'm the first in my family to go to college, finish college, and all of that. So it was really a new experience for my whole family. I grew up playing sports. I played softball and volleyball competitively my whole life. And it kind of came down to, do I want to continue this in college, go to a smaller school, or maybe hang all that up, stop my sports career and pursue a degree at LSU. And all I wanted to do was just be a Tiger and go to LSU and experience those awesome football games. And little did I know that they had a great journalism program there. So again, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I actually declared kinesiology at orientation because that's what a lot of my friends were doing. I thought maybe I could do sports medicine. I knew I wanted to do something in sports. And then I quickly realized I'm not great at math or science, and I hate blood and bones and all of that. So quickly changed my mind on that. I literally had a moment where I walked by the journalism building. I've always loved writing, and so put two and two together. It just kind of made sense. And LSU has a Tiger TV, which is a student-run news station. So they give you that opportunity in your early years to really experience everything about sports media and see if you even like it. You know, get your feet wet, because this is, you're going to dedicate your whole life to it in the long run. So let's see if you even like it first. And so, did Tiger TV for 2 years, anchored some shows with them. They taught me how to shoot, how to edit, how to write. I graduated from LSU in 2016. Before all of that, I did a lot of internships. I interned at a local news station in Baton Rouge. I'm still pretty close with my mentor there. We just talked on the phone the other day. So I interned there. I interned at a station in New Orleans, and my internships were really hands-on, and they gave me a lot of experience. It wasn't just go grab a coffee for someone and watch. It was, hey, we're going to drop you off at this high school. You need to shoot this football game and then come back and edit the highlights and write a shot sheet and then hand it to the talent. And that's what I did for a long time. And so my internship really set me up for success in that way. And I was hired for my first job a couple weeks before graduating from LSU. And that was in Jackson, Mississippi. So I was I started as the weekend sports anchor at the NBC and Fox, and kind of worked my way up. They kind of got rid of some sports people. They basically trimmed down the sports department. So by my last year there, which was my third year, I was doing everything by myself. So I'm covering Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Southern Miss, couple SWAC schools, high school sports, and the like. Pretty much anything that happened in the community, I was there at with a camera. I shot, you know, I would edit the stuff, and I would produce, and I would host, anchor, if you will. So that was all the local sports fun that I got to do. And there were some great experiences in that. I mean, I followed Mississippi State women's basketball during a great historical time. You know, they made it to back-to-back national championship games. Mississippi State baseball had this like magical run to Omaha after their coach gets fired. It was the whole thing. So I definitely got to check that off my bucket list, going to Omaha for a College World Series. And kind of outgrew my time there and took some part-time work last summer when my contract ended in Mississippi. Didn't really know what the heck I was doing. It was a little scary. And I worked with Wilson Baseball for a couple of months. And then I did freelance work with CST, which is out of New Orleans. It's a small regional sports network. And just waited for what was next. And I didn't realize that what would be next would be moving to a dream city like Denver and getting my feet wet in hockey.
Was hockey on your radar even a little bit before the Avs job?
So as just a sports fan in general, and if you see my arm moving, I'm petting my dog. He's down here. I don't want anybody to think I'm a weirdo. So as a traditional sports fan, I would watch when the Stanley Cup playoffs were on and all of that. But I'd be lying if I'd say that I grew up watching hockey or anything like that. I mean, let's be serious. I'm from South Louisiana. I worked in Mississippi for 3 years. So no, it was kind of on my radar. In my mind, I wanted my next move to be covering professional sports. So I was going from high school, college athletics. I really wanted to mix in some type of professional sport, NFL, NBA, could be NHL, whatever it was. I didn't expect it to be all NHL. I kind of thought I'd get to a city like a Tampa, you know, that kind of had everything and they have hockey. And that's how I could get my feet wet and learn a little bit more about it. And this opportunity kind of knocked and I couldn't say no. And I'm the type of person that's like challenge accepted. And that's just kind of what happened. And I studied as much as I could and moved here almost immediately. And I started the job a week before the first preseason game. So it all happened very, very fast. But and it was something new, something different I had never done, because I'm the in-arena reporter and producer. So it's that live factor and getting the fans engaged stuff that I hadn't really done before. I've always just kind of talked into a prompter and had the words in front of me that I wrote. And this was like, okay, no scripts, no anything. You just got to wing it. And so it was challenging, but fun at the same time. I think that's a time in my life I'll never forget, is that transition.
When you say that you were doing homework to try and figure it all out, how did you go about introducing yourself to a world that you just weren't familiar with?
I was very honest with my bosses, and they knew what they were getting with me. I wasn't totally ignorant about the whole thing. Like, I knew basics, right? But it was just something, sure, I haven't been focused on. I really felt like I built up my reputation in other sports. I was an AP top 25 voter for college football, and I had a Heisman vote. And I've played softball, so baseball's, you know, very second nature to me. And I spent so much time covering basketball, and it took a while for me to build up that reputation. And I was excited to build up a new reputation here with within the NHL and the Avs and everything else. And my boss knew that. And I think he knew that I just had it in me to be able to do that within time. And so he sent me some book recommendations. My favorite one was Keep Your Eye on the Puck, which is funny because I started reading it. I was almost done and then got crazy busy in the season. And I started rereading it actually during quarantine because I'm like, oh, I have this whole new lens now to read it through. And it's been really interesting. That's a great book. I think it would reach anyone, whether you're first starting out and learning hockey, watching hockey, or you're a pro. It's kind of a for everyone book, which is really nice. And aside from that, you just hop on NHL.com and get to reading and get really involved and stay up to date on the latest. And of course the names can be challenging. So I know one of the first things I did was I asked Connor McGahee, once I was introduced to him, to send me a voice recording of all the players' names. Because I wanted the first time I heard their names to be the right, correct pronunciation. And I didn't want to make it up in my head or learn the wrong way. So yeah, I did that and met all the guys at Media Day, which was a nice, easy way to introduce myself and kind of, you know, build that respect and that communication with them. And yeah, that's kind of how it all went down. And the only way to learn something really is to just be thrown into it. That is, that holds true in this situation. And my bosses were great in the sense of they threw me into the fire, but they weren't going to just let me burn. Whatever it took to make me feel comfortable and to make sure that I was set up for success, they do, you know, baby steps. Like the first couple of games, I didn't call highlights during an intermission. And then I think it was maybe the third game. Hey, Rachel, it's time for you to call highlights. Like, we believe in you. You can do this. And then I did it and it was okay. I remember being so scared to do that. And my boss telling me it's just like football highlights. Like, we saw your reel. You can do football highlights. It's the same type of thing, like same energy. You know what you're doing. You can do it. So it's been easy because the people I work with make it so easy.
Might seem like an off-topic question really quick, but can you spell the word go for me?
G-E-A-U-X.
All right. I thought maybe the LSU would have prepared you for some of those weird names in hockey. With
right. Well, I remember telling them on the interview, you know, they asked about pronunciation. I was like, well, my last name is Polish. It's Richlinski because my dad is from Chicago, but my entire family's from South Louisiana. My mom's an Angel. My stepdad's a Colette. Our dogs are literally named Boudreaux and Thibodeau. So everything about me is pretty Cajun French. And, you know, we don't pronounce Hebert. It's Hebert and things like that, right? That those are names that I've just grown up with, you know. Jean as a first name. That's, I know it's not Jean. I've had friends named Jean or Jacques, things like that. So that, yeah, that's not totally foreign.
Maybe not quite the right crowd for hockey, I guess. You get more Northern European there. Yeah. AJ, go ahead.
Yeah. I am curious though, what was your first media day like? Cause I know, my first media day was terrifying and I didn't know what I was getting into. My path obviously to this was very different. You had at least worked in sports before. I kind of just got dropped into it and was like, hey, good luck, go. And so my first media day was just a holy terror of nerves and uncertainty. What was it like for you, especially now knowing that like the Avs media environment is pretty soft?
Yeah, very different, right? I mean, comparing it to prior to my time at an NHL media day, the only other professional sports setting, you know, not college, that I had been in was the NFC Championship in New Orleans at the Superdome, wow. The Saints and the Rams and that infamous NOLA no call. And I remember being in the locker room after that game and the amount of media that you know, was swarmed at each stall, at each locker was just insane. Jane Slater for NFL Network, who I adore. I think she's fantastic. I just remember her standing in front of me and I'm at this time an MMJ, multimedia journalist. I'm shooting my own stuff and everything. So I have a camera on this shoulder. I have my microphone like this. I'm standing on top of a box that's on top of a stool and I'm like reaching over this group. And I just remember Jane at one point just grabbing my microphone to help me because that's just how impossible it was to reach. It wasn't even like Drew Brees, right? Like they put Drew and Sean Payton, so the quarterback and the head coach, at the podium. So these are, you know, other players of interest, and it was really difficult to get to them. So it's kind of interesting seeing how different it is here. It's nice, though, because it's not as much of a madhouse every single day. And then you kind of notice on bigger games, there's more media. And, of course, I'm there for every game, so I can see the trend. But as far as my first media day, I stayed in one room, and it was a good way to introduce me to everyone, the way my boss has set it up. I did the Ask the Avs segment. So if you're ever at Pepsi Center and it's the funny things that are like played at random times. I think it's sponsored by Pepsi. Don't quote me on that. I'm trying to remember like one of the questions. Who on the team is most likely to drink White Claw? You know, stuff like that. And then the guys just answer. So they were very easy, fun questions. You got the guys laughing and everything. So that was very easy for me to like introduce myself to them and everything. So that was nice. And as far as like the guys, they were real easygoing. Everyone was so nice to me. Specifically, I remember my first actual interview I did. It must have been for a preseason game, maybe the first preseason game. I did Coffee Talk, which is a sponsored segment I do, and I did it with Gabe. And I remember being very nervous because it was my first time actually like talking hockey with a hockey player, and I was really scared. I was just so nervous. I didn't want to say anything stupid or mess up or have him judge me, and I just wanted to make a good impression. And he, you know, we did the interview, everything went fine. And I remember like just getting out of his way, like, oh, thanks for your time. I know you're busy. And he was like, hey, you just moved here. How do you like it? It's like, oh, thanks. I really like it. This is awesome. And he's like, well, you're from the South, right? Like there's not hockey down there. And I was like, yeah, I know, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm working really hard. I hope you guys can be patient with me, but you know, I'm working hard, happy to be here, whatever. And he's like, well, look, if you ever have any questions or need help, let me know. And I thought that was like the coolest thing ever. It really relaxed me. And, you know, I've never gotten to tell him that, but at some point next season, when we can talk to players again, I'm going to tell him that, because it really did set the stage to make me feel more comfortable around them. And not that I had to tiptoe or be scared of them by any means. So that was kind of my first experience.
I think it's interesting because everybody who covers the Avs long enough will have a Gabe story like that. Mm-hmm. Where, like, my first year covering the team, they hadn't built, you know, where the players park at Pepsi Center now? Mm-hmm. It's like that secluded lot. That didn't exist a few years ago.
Okay.
They parked where the media parked, just right out in that same exact lot.
Oh, wow.
And so there was a big snowstorm one night, and I was leaving for the evening, and Gabe is out there just scraping his car. Just scraping snow off of his car, and he like stops me, and like we chatted for a few minutes, and like everybody, it's just one of those things, like that's, it's just who he is. And when people ask me like, oh, what's, you know, should somebody else be captain of the team, how do you like, what's Landy like as like a captain? And it's funny because it's everybody has a Gabe story.
Yeah.
Everybody.
I think that like answers that question, right? It's not that I don't think he's better than anyone else. It's just,
right,
I can't imagine anyone else representing the team as well as he does. So I'm around, a big part of my job is the community relations side. And so a lot of times I'm at these hospital visits with them, and they all get emotional, right? But yeah. Gabe like really takes it to another level. You know, he's just like, when the people at the hospital are like, hey, it's time to go, time to wrap up. And he's just like, can I stay? Can I go back and see that person? Or can I have 5 more minutes with this person? Like, he really does go that extra mile. And I think that just speaks to how great of a person he is. So if anyone's actually wondering if he's as good as he seems, like, he is.
It's crazy. This last season I had, I only have one kidney. Because I had, I had kidney cancer when I was in my 20s. And so they took the bad one out. I only have one left. And if something goes wrong with it, like I'm in deep trouble, right?
Boy.
And I was having some issues this past, I think, November. I was having some complications with it. And I remember we got done with a scrum after practice one day, and Gabe was asking me, he was like, are you all right? And I was like, yeah, man, I have a lot on my mind. And he was like, well, what's up? And I'm like, dude, you don't like you know, like you've got the Jets tomorrow or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you've got plenty on your plate, and he was, you know, he wanted to listen. Mm-hmm. And when I was telling him, he was like, oh, well, what do they do to fix it? You know, and he was just he just kept asking follow-up questions and like inquiring about things, and it was just he's just that guy. Like he's just the dude that you want as a fan. I've always told people, this is the guy you want wearing your team's logo.
For sure.
Well,
couldn't agree more.
My story might not be quite the same, but if you want to look more like Gabe Landeskog, Manscaped might be the product for you.
Wow.
With their new
Your segue?
Yep.
I was like, where is he going with this?
No, we're committed now. There's no going back. The Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer can take care of all of the hair all over your body. You can even make yourself look like a manly half-Greek god like Gabe Landeskog. Can also use all of their other amazing take care of your body products, whether it be breath mints, deodorant, toner, you name it, they have it all for you. It all comes in an amazing little carrying case when you order their Perfect Package 3.0 as well. So be sure to head on over to manscaped.com and use code DNVR20 to get 20% off and free shipping for whatever you purchase. We also, of course, have Breckenridge Brewery, our official beer here at DNVR, whether it be the Avalanche Amber, the Mile High City, the Mango Mosaic, or any other. You can get them at your local Davidson's or liquor store, or, of course, down at the farmhouse in Littleton, straight from the Breckenridge Brewery source. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by Davidson's with Rudo, AJ, and Rachel joining us today. So you've been with the Avs now for right about a year, obviously a little bit weird with the scheduling as things are happening now, but I am curious, what are some of your favorite moments so far?
Well, you know, I think I'm going to be celebrating my year anniversary in quarantine, which really stinks. I don't know the exact day, but it was second week of September, give or take. So that kind of stinks that it almost feels like half of my time here has been spent locked away. Favorite experiences thus far. The game against Nashville at Pepsi Center, for sure. That was awesome when they scored. What was the final score?
9-4. Yeah.
There we go. So that was awesome. Just the energy and like being able to go at intermission. I remember at one point my little note card that I'll like take notes on. I ran out of room and like scratched it. I remember like showing the fans, like I literally ran out of room on this cue card today. That's how many goals they just scored. So that one was just really fun. The Avs charity brunch was another just like favorite experience of mine. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, but it's a really cool event that the whole organization puts on to, you know, help these families who really need it and give these kids a time away from all the hardship that they have to face on a day-to-day basis. So seeing the players interact with these kids for that brunch is a really, really cool thing. That's definitely another experience, a top experience. Another one would be, I would say Monday, my first day back at Pepsi Center in 4 months, because it really made me realize how much I love my job. And I love working for the Avs and I love being in that building. And I did not realize, you know, how much I was going to miss it until it was taken away from me for 4 months. Right. This wasn't just like some free paid vacation. It was really hard to be away for that long and the uncertainty was really scary. So being back home was being back in the arena felt like I was back home, which was a really cool feeling. And I don't think I'm going to forget that day. So that was a fun experience for sure. And then anytime I get to throw on skates at Pepsi Center, you know, if they ever have like one of the events they did that comes to mind is the blind hockey. So that's an awesome event by itself. And then I get to throw on skates and skate around and interview people. That's pretty cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. Monday was really nice. Just being back and seeing everybody in the, it's funny. Cause like, these are like, not really like coworkers, but just like people that you see every day that, you know, your colleagues, right? And then it's always like when you have the summer off and you come back, you see all the media again, and it's sort of like, oh, these are like, it's like work friends, you know, like, oh, it's all these friendly faces, all these people, you know, that you have these different relationships with, and then you can't talk to them, any of them. You can't see any of them because you guys are all separated, and you can't you gotta get it in quick.
Still kind of separated, but at least I see some of you guys standing in line waiting to go through security, even if we're like 6 feet apart.
Yeah.
Waving from across the Pepsi Center.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, like literally, like yesterday, Ryan was like yelling at you.
Yeah.
Because we were separated by sections. So Ryan Clark was trying to talk to you and it was like yelling over top of people. And
yeah. Yeah. He's like, who are you? Yeah. Are you that girl that's on that screen? I was like, what? I said, go Tigers.
That's what I said. That's right. Always on brand with the Tigers.
Oh, yeah. Always. I'm so obnoxious with that. That, you know, people have asked what the biggest culture shock for me has been moving here. Obviously, the weather. Like, there's no snow in the South.
Yeah.
It snowed once in Jackson, in Mississippi, when I lived there, I will say. But
it snowed once in 3 years.
Yeah. So, got that experience. So, obviously, the weather was very different for me, which, you know, the day-to-day of like having to scrape the ice off your car to what the heck do I wear when it's cold and snowy outside? I didn't even know what snow boots were until I moved here. And now I have 3 pairs. You know, I remember my first couple of days, like in cold weather, I probably looked like an idiot because I don't even know how to dress. I have like 6 sweaters on, a jacket on top. I'm like walking into the building with a blanket over myself. Like these like rubber duck boots because I don't know what I'm doing. So yeah, that was definitely a culture shock. And then aside from that, the lack of respect for college football in this area is very depressing, especially when your team is making a national championship run and that's all you want to talk about and no one really seems to care. But yeah.
It is so different. And like, you know, growing up in Texas, like high school football. Huge there, right? Like, and then you come here and it's just like, yeah, it happens.
Yeah. It's funny.
School care.
Yeah. So I just recently signed up for YouTube TV through my parents, like login because I'm a real adult. And since they're still in Louisiana, the local stations are still local Louisiana station. They're not the Denver one. So anyway, I got to watch some like local Louisiana news the other night. And my friend was just like, wow, they led with high school football in their sports segment. Is it a slow sports day? I'm like, no, that's just, it's a big deal at home. It's a big deal in the South. Like the project I poured my heart into the most at my job in Mississippi was our high school football show. Like that's what people cared about, especially for local sports, right? You can get your other stuff elsewhere. Yeah, it's a big deal and people don't understand that.
All high school sports here. Oh, it's Regis and Valor again. Okay.
Yeah. <Moving on. laughs> Yeah. High school.
I worked that game with altitude. I worked some game at Valor. It might've been Regis at Valor.
Probably was.
I don't remember who the opponent was, but it was at Valor.
It's college, high school and college sports in Colorado are just not there, and it's funny because like I know people who care a ton about mm-hmm. them and I just want to like give them a hug and be like I'm sorry you're by yourself on this. Like it's just different culture wise and like it doesn't help that the Buffs have been terrible for
I'm sure that years. Has something to do with it. Yeah,
but even then it's like even if the Buffs were consistently like an 8 or 9 win team where they occasionally, you know, win 10 or 11 and get frisky and make a run. Like it just would not be the same. It did. The energy in this town is just different. You know, when the Broncos are obviously doing anything,
right? Yeah.
Like when the Broncos do anything, it's huge news. They've been god awful for the last couple of years, and people.
That's
have never
been really interesting for me to take note of too. You know, the Avs are winning, right. The Broncos are not, and it still felt like the focus in this city was, you know, NFL Broncos. So
yeah, you have the Pepsi Center housing two teams that are in the top three of their conference, and you turn on a local radio station, and it's. There's never an off season for talking Broncos. And you're like, what in the, Can there be one? Can I get at least like 4 or 5 hours a day of you guys talking about other sports? And they're like, nope. We're gonna talk about the punter battle today.
Well, that's why we're here, to bring the abs talk.
Right. Like, all right. You guys basically just created us out of necessity. Thanks.
Also created, not necessarily out of necessity, but certainly helpful during quarantine, was WGT Golf. If you couldn't get out, you could always play your golf digitally. Loved by more than 20 million players around the world, you can join in and play with everyone in the DNVR community by going to dnvrgolf.com to download and searching for DNVR2, our second clubhouse. We've already filled our first one all the way up, but I believe we pushed it over. Not quite 500 members yet, but two's almost full. So get it on two before we have to make DNVR 3.
Straight up. We have 31 spots left in DNVR 2 until we have to create DNVR 3 and my life becomes...
Man. You have to start recruiting people other than me to help you make the tournaments. Jump on it. You can play a bunch of awesome courses, whether it be Pebble Beach, Bethpage Black, or other true-to-life ones. You can play closest to the hole, stroke play, match play, you name it. You can challenge anyone to any type of golf you want to play. Again, dnvrgolf.com to download. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by Davidson's with Rudo, AJ, and Rachel today. Rachel, obviously probably not fully set in knowing what you're going to in your future, but altitude is starting to garner a bit of a reputation of creating people that move on to bigger and better things. In the AB system, obviously, Lauren Gardner was very successful here and moved on to MLB programming and other things as well. And then on the Nugget side, you have someone like Alexis Perry as well. So I'm curious, what are your plans generally in sports media or otherwise?
You know, it's so hard to give answers when people, it's a common question, right? Because I do still feel like I just got here, and I'm just so happy in the role that I have. So looking ahead is just feels a little premature now. But of course, I have my dreams and my aspirations. And right now, I am employed. Obviously, we're all under the same branch, Kroenke Sports, right? He owns the Avs, the Nuggets, Altitude, and everything else. And because of that, that's why I'm able to do some sideline games with Altitude. I've done like high school football and some DU games for hockey and basketball. And what I would like to do is honestly sideline at some point in my life because I want to be able to travel more with my job. And right now, traveling is just not in my cards for the in-arena host. But I like how unique the job that I'm in right now can be. It's a lot more than just reporting. Like the producing side of it has been really fun, and being able to be hands-on in the way that the show flows has been really nice, and giving me a whole new outlook on what game presentation is, because that's the department that I am in right now. So for those of people who don't understand that, when you go to an Avs game, everything from the lights that are displayed to, you know, the images that are shown on the ice for warmups, you know, the music, the videos that are played, those hype up videos, like those are all my coworkers. Those are the people I work with. That's the department I'm in, that entertainment side of the game, which it's not that I didn't know that existed. I don't think I had ever thought of it. You know, you just go to a game, you see the stuff happening, and you don't think about the work that goes behind it. I honestly didn't realize that a place like Pepsi Center would have a control room. That, you know, that was mind blowing to me. When I was applying for this job, I didn't even know what I was applying for. You know, I was just like, oh, in arena. I don't really know what that means. And once they explained it to me and how unique it is, that's what, you know, piqued my interest. And the Avs job specifically is very unique because not every team has a role like this. I know like the Carolina Hurricanes, I'm friends with their in-arena host. So she does something kind of similar, but there are plenty of teams that don't have what I'm able to do with the Avs. So I like how unique it is and the opportunities I'm given. In the long run, I would like to try sideline reporting and being able to travel with a team. I kind of always thought I'd end up in baseball because I grew up playing softball and it's what I knew the best, but I do love football and I do miss football at times, but it's been really fun to be a football fan as well. So I always tell people I have a lot of dreams. I don't know where the world's going to take me. I'm open to a lot. All I know is I love Denver and I would love to stay here as long as possible. You know, opportunities maybe way in the future, something like an SEC network, you know, on like ESPN, like, yeah, that would be amazing. But I'm also very content being here and staying here and working in hockey. The idea of it is really fun. And I just never thought that it would become my, you know, my whole life. And it's, I don't know, it's great. There's nothing like it. I love how fast paced it is. I love the access is a lot easier. And yeah, I don't know. So even if I ended up in hockey as the whatever, that'd be fun too. I have a lot of dreams. I don't know where life will take me, but.
Certainly hockey players make working in hockey a little easier too, because they're by and large, like, it's not like every guy is the greatest guy in the world, but by and large, they're easy to work with.
So easy to work with. And like I mentioned, you know, I hadn't worked in professional sports before, but interviewing a couple Saints players here and there. And honestly, by the time you start interviewing people who are in their senior year of college, they start to act like they're professionals, right? So going from interviewing people like that who weren't necessarily bad people, but yeah, they'd shrug their shoulders, roll their eyes for an interview or whatever it was. The sound bites weren't always the best. And, you know, I just have not had that experience with the Avs. So they're great.
All I hear is hockey's the best. Everything else is lame. Easy game.
I'm trying to convert every friend I have. I mean, I had one of my best friends from high school and college. She came to a game right before the holidays, maybe around Thanksgiving. And she, you know, she grew up playing every sport, softball, volleyball, basketball. She's a big football fan just because we all are in the South. And after her first hockey game, she looked at me and she was like, this is way better than football. Like, this is amazing. My parents came to their first game. It was a Wednesday game, March 4th, I believe. I can't remember who the opponent was. Maybe the Ducks, perhaps. We lost in overtime. Anyway, I checked in on my parents after, maybe it was during the second period, after my second hit. And my mom isn't even a sports fan in general. And she's looking at me like, this is insane. She's like, Rach, this is so cool. And there were fights in the game too. Cause I remember her being like, why are you happy if they fight? I'm like, I'm not happy. It's just like part of it. And so I'm trying to explain this to her over the phone. And she finally gets the experience. And she's like, this is awesome. She looked around. She's like, no one's on their phone. No one's distracted. Everyone has their eyes on the ice, on the action, on the game. And it really felt like, I forget what word she used. I think maybe community experience. Like, she felt like she was truly watching this game with a big group of people. And yeah. I was like, wow, that is like beautiful. And then my dad, who is a sports fan, but has never been to a hockey game. He looks at me and he's just like, this is awesome. I gotta watch. Don't you have to watch? I have to watch. I get it. You like it too. So, yeah. I think they helped kind of solidify that people in the South can appreciate the sport if they are given the opportunity. I think most people just don't have that opportunity. You know, I was fortunate enough to where I did go to a couple of Stars games. You know, it's the closest NHL team, I guess, unless you want to go to Nashville. So I saw them in the playoffs last season and a couple other regular season games. And that's when I knew I liked the sport at least.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. So championing hockey in the South.
Yeah. That's every awesome. Friend, I'm just converting them.
It's a tough sell. Let me tell you,
there. I imagine so.
I had a couple of friends who jumped in right away and were like, this is the coolest thing ever. And then other ones who were just like, but they don't score enough. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you about that. Like, that's some games
Watch
are great.
Here's Avs team if you don't think they score enough, and that'll solve that problem.
That's another thing that, like, you know, my boss will remind me of sometimes. Like, you joined a good team. You got a little lucky on that.
Came to the Avs at the right time, for sure. So,
I definitely got here at the right time. So I think it's pretty easy to fall in love with a sport when the team that you're working with is so good.
Let me tell you, if you'd been here in 16-17, they lost. I heard all the
stories. Your parents would be singing a much different tune if you took them to those games.
Let me tell you, I was last man standing that year. All of the other day-to-day reporters got other assignments or straight up quit their jobs.
Oh boy.
It was a mess. So yeah, this year was a great year to join up and be like, let's see how this goes.
All right. AJ, do you have any final questions, or are we winding down here?
I think I'm good, man.
All right, Rachel, if there's anything you want to shout out or plug or anything like that, go for it.
You know what? Yeah. So when games pick back up, we are doing a second screen experience with the games. So basically, once you have the game up, I don't know who will be broadcasting, whether it's Altitude or I guess NBC, whoever, you have that up on your TV. And if you've been to Avs home games, even if you haven't, but you want that kind of home ice feeling, whatever, since obviously we can't have it during COVID, I don't have a link or anything to share with you right now, but it will be on ColoradoAvalanche.com. It'll be easy to find once it's up. You'll be able to pull it up on a laptop, on, you know, a tablet, on your phone, and you're going to get this second screen experience. It's not to compete with the broadcast, but to enhance it. So I'll host it, and I'll actually do my normal show, Avs Insight. We'll do an 8 to 10 minute pregame show and then intermission shows, and then I'll bring in alumni and other guests to kind of give their take on the game so far. So they can't do like play-by-play, but it'll be more commentary and conversational type stuff. So we're going to try to make it feel like it's a home game at Pepsi Center, essentially, like bringing in other people. And I don't want to give too much away because I don't know what's exactly set in stone, but it is happening. So be on the lookout for that if you're, you know, an Avs fan wanting to really get all the hockey stuff that you can take in on those first couple of games back, because myself and my coworkers have worked really hard to make it all happen. And we'd love for you guys to tune in and kind of join the experience with us, because we'll be learning along the way. And then, yeah, other than that, you know, for every Avs fan that I've met at Pepsi Center that I haven't seen in 4 months, I miss you guys. I miss talking to you. I miss interacting with you. And hopefully that will happen again soon.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Rachel. You can follow her on Twitter. It's just her name. You can see right down there by her. As I think same thing on Instagram and everything as well.
Yeah, it's Rach Richlinski, but I'm sure if you searched Rachel, I'm the only one that's going to come up.
There you go. I can't even get her name right, but you can find her on Twitter, Rachel Richlinski.
There you go.
I'm trying. I'm struggling out here, but we're getting there. Of course, you can always find her once things do open up again for Avs games at the Pepsi Center on that second screen she was talking about, and I'm sure on Altitude regularly as well. So thank you again for coming on, Rachel. That's going to do it for us today. Before we get out of here, though, I guess our Strava Craft Coffee performer of the day has to be you, Rachel, for coming on the show and telling us about everything. So you can get your Strava Craft Coffee for 20% off when you order online and use code DNVR20. The CBD is non-psychoactive and been known to help many aches and pains, you name it. And of course, you can always try before you buy in a number of locations in and around Denver before heading to StravaCraftCoffee.com. That's going to do it for reals this time. Thank you, everybody, for watching, and we will be back on with Free Skate Friday tomorrow.